I'm here with James Leckis, and we'll be talking about Small Great Things by Jodi Picoult. Okay, so what were your takeaways from the book?
Well, I really liked that it was one situation described by three different perspectives. I thought that gave a lot of variety on how we can and what we can take away from the situations. And as the reader, we got to see which perspective connected with us the most. And it made it very relatable to a wide spread of people.
Mm-hmm. And who did you seem to relate with the most?
I related most with Kennedy, and I think that's because she represents most of how people feel that they think, or we think that we don't see color and in our everyday lives, but really we do, and she really shows that transformation.
I feel like I didn't really relate to any of the three characters. That's probably because I'm not any of the three characters, but I could, like, in each different story, I could relate to some part of their aspect. Like Ruth, because I am a minority, like, to some extent I could relate, but obviously not to the extent that she has been through. But, like what Kennedy was saying, like, I only see race now. After reading it, I felt like I could see race in society more. Do you feel like that this book has changed your perspective on racism?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think when as I go through about my days, it's not just, you know, I used to be like Kennedy, and it's like, oh, you know, I'm fine, I don't see race as normal. But and then when you accept it and you learn that, you know, you should be thinking about it, it really opens your eyes to how you need to, you know, kind of put yourself in everybody else's shoes all at the mm-hmm. same time.
And do you think if you were sitting in on the jury of Ruth's case, you would acquit Ruth?
Okay. Oh, definitely not. I mean, okay. I think based on the story, it had very good facts in the courtroom to support the case. And obviously, I mean, it should have been free, home free for Ruth.
Yeah. And when I was reading the church chapters, I was like extremely frustrated. Were you ever frustrated with him?
So for me, honestly, I never felt, when I was reading the church chapters, I didn't hate him. I thought it was an interesting piece of the story, and I would read it, and after reading it, or about halfway through the book, I realized that I didn't hate him. And even though I don't like his point of view on the world and everything, when I was reading his chapters, he didn't seem like a terrible guy. I know that sounds kind of weird to say, but when you read from Ruth's perspective, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, he's the devil. And when you read from Kennedy's perspective, it's like, oh, he's a nonsense loser or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you read from his perspective, it's just, there's nothing, he just, when he casually talks about it, it makes it seem normal.
Yeah,
in a way, I
guess. See that. And it's just like everyone being passionate about something, and for him,
right.
White supremacy. So, do you think that the author was trying to send some kind of message with him being a dynamic character, with him changing at the end?
Yeah, because I think, I mean, she's definitely trying to show what's right and what's wrong here. And by having him change, that's showing what's, you know, what's right. This is how things are. Throughout the book, she's just kind of, she's not really giving an opinion on anything. She's just showing three different perspectives on it, and they're all with their own biases. But, you know, since she's the creator of the story, she gives in her message near the end to say, like, you know, this is what's right. This is what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely allows for interpretation of everything, which I thought was really cool, because even after reading it, like, I feel like going back to school that day or something, I was just, like, noticing demographics and, like, things like that sort of nature, so, yeah. And if you were Ruth, do you think you would have chosen to get up on stand and just blurt out everything, even if that meant, like, going to prison?
Honestly, I can't answer that question mm-hmm. because I don't think I can put myself in her shoes, being mm-hmm. white, and I've never had any minority conflicts that I can't accurately place myself in her shoes and imagine what it would be like.
Yeah, I can see that. But do you think that if Ruth was white, that this whole thing would have happened in the first place?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
And I don't know if, like, I don't see that in, like, the working force, obviously, because I'm not in the working force, but I feel like that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of...
And I think also this book was, it could have been a very exaggerated example of what happens on a small scale.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, all the time in the workforce, there's people that are not given equal rights because they're, you know, because of race. But I think this book just really exaggerated it to an extent that shows, like, the dramatized, like, problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is a problem, like, even just with people who are not crazy like Turk.
Yeah, like Kennedy. Like, she was just an average person. And, like, the author's note in the back, it was saying, like, the difference between active and passive racism, just, like, I don't know, it's not just discriminating, it's just, like, your thoughts and actions, which is interesting. And you didn't know that, you didn't read the author's note, right?
No.
Do you feel like if you had known that it was written for a white person, or, like, the group of people, it would change perspective anyway as you were reading it?
Well, now that you mention it, I think it makes sense to me. I don't think it, when I think back about the book, I think it makes sense that it was written for white people because, I think who we're supposed to connect with most is Kennedy in the book, and, because, like I said before, she kind of represents, like, the majority of people. But I don't think it would have... I mean, it might have... See, I don't really know the answer to that because I didn't know it before. But now that I know it afterwards, I think it definitely makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And then Edison, I was really surprised by his transformation from, like, an honor student to, you know, regressing back to, like, the stereotype in a way. Do you think that was also intentional?
Yeah, I think it showed Edison's identity problems.
Mm-hmm.
How, and only all of this started after Ruth got, you know, fired from her job and started having all these problems. And like I said, throughout the book, while growing up, Edison never had any problem with race. He was just, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he could take it. But I think as he was seeing how true these stereotypes are and how strong of an impact they were, he kind of had like an identity crisis and was looking for a community to be a part of. And that's why his cousins, you know, he kind of assimilated to their way of life.
Yeah, and he grew up in a predominantly white, affluent neighborhood too, so that definitely had something to do with it. And also, Foucault calls to action about talking about race just in everyday life. Do you think that's important?
Yeah, I think that whether we like it or not, race affects all of our decisions, or many of our decisions, because we probably don't even realize it. You know, the way we talk to people, the way we respond and make connections, I think we should all be thinking about that and be aware of, you know, are we acting different with these people because they're this way? And it's important to realize that, because we could be doing it subconsciously without, you know, without any justification.
Definitely. And do you think in like the law world that law enforcers are biased to some extent, even though they say that race shouldn't be talked about in court?
I think definitely. Well, when you have a public jury,
mm-hmm.
It brings back the idea that everybody has these racial ideas, even if they're not consciously thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably does affect a number of cases. And there's really no way to figure that out.
Yeah.
In a true way. You know, I think it's impossible to have a completely impartial person.
Yeah, that's true. And as I was reading it, I was trying to see from the jury's perspective, like if I was reading about Ruth. And I really don't know what I would have chosen. And that's also because I'm kind of biased by racism and stereotypes. So I thought that was interesting. But reading from Ruth's perspective, I was really frustrated, angry. So. Who's your favorite character?
Oh, that's a good question. I think my favorite character would probably be, you know, honestly, I'd go with Turk.
Okay.
I really liked hearing his story, and it's a story that, you know, you don't hear very often. I think we've all heard stories similar to Ruth,
mm-hmm.
and Kennedy was definitely, you know, like an impactful story. But I liked Turk a lot because, like for me, like I said, I didn't hate him when I was reading it,
mm-hmm.
and it just made me interested to see how does a person develop this way, what makes them make these kind of choices, and you know, seeing this whole way that Turk was brought up, I think it's very interesting, and I enjoyed reading it.
I would kind of agree with that, actually. Like, I feel like he was a very powerful person in his league, and just his passion for what he did, even though I may not agree with it, it is pretty honorable and, like, something to look up to.
Right. And plus, when you read from Turk's perspective, I mean, like I said, I didn't hate him, because I would read it and kind of say, like, oh, you know, I would feel bad for this guy. I'd say his wife, you know, having problems, and his child is gone, and you kind of, you know, you look at him as, or I looked at him as just a normal person, and, you know, I feel bad for him, and even when I was reading about his younger times when he was, you know, just growing up this way, and I could understand his sense of pride and things that he did.
Yeah.
And that's why I really like Turk. I think he's a fun character to look at.
Cool. I honestly don't know who my favorite character is. I feel like each of them had specific attributes that I liked, even if I didn't like them all the time. So, yeah. Is there anything you want to add?
This is a good book.
I would definitely recommend. Well, thanks for interviewing.
We did it.
We did it. Good job.
Do you need the book anymore, or are you going to...
I don't.
Okay. Did I give you the cover to this, or...
No.
You still have it. You still have it. Okay. Cool.
Thanks for the book.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm reading the main book.
don't go in the American Eagle area. Go in the immediate right. Don't delete my thing.
Delete lang para man.
Hold on, I just need to make sure.
Hindi varde. I'm not under.
Okay.
Okay.
Inbound side 10 around North Avenue to the Hubbard Street Tunnel. 14 coming in from Montrose. The O'Hare extension looks good. Out on the Eisenhower, 29 to Route 390. 29 back in. Stevens it out. A 20-minute trip to the Tri-State. 30 out to 355. Inbound 30, 355 back in. Ryan out to 95th. That is now a 15-minute ride. Inbound 15. It is a slow traffic there on the inbound Ryan Rip. The outbound Eisenhower. And then 57 is Bishop Orville. Going on the tollways at the moment. 80 looks good in Joliet. 80, 94, I 65, Indiana Toll Road. They're all fine. Woodridge, watch out for an accident at 75th and Woodward Avenue. You see something happening when I'm talking about? You can always volunteer at 70 BBM. Here's the traffic to 585-780 route. Get trapped in Woodward and run the 8 every 10 minutes. Ladies Radio 780 and 105. Going back.
WBBM active weather. Some snow showers early. Keeping a quick covering on roads with an inch or two on non-paved surfaces. Otherwise, cloudy, windy, and becoming colder tonight. Lake Effect Snow in northwest Indiana will accumulate 1 to 3 inches, especially in Porter County, a low of 18. Partly sunny, windy, and very cold tomorrow. High of just 24, but active with real field temperatures in the single digits and teens. Partly cloudy and cold tomorrow night, low of 15. Then another round of snow believed to coating to an inch on Wednesday. Mostly cloudy otherwise, high of 33. AccuWeather meteorologist Steve Travis on Chicago's weather station. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Well, in Chicago, this evening, it's been kind of interesting out there. Stop driving in a little bit. It's cloudy at 33 and out here. 4 at Midway. This evening at the Lake Forefront, mostly cloudy at 31. Tonight, Aurora, cloudy at 32. The northwest wind at 13. WBBM News Time. 840. Have a monowrap ship holiday at Taylor Lloyd's. Taylor offers free monogramming. Grab and shipping on offer. Starting with the holiday sale from Brick and Riley. The style of innovative luggage, business gifts, and bag tags are all backed by Brick and Riley's lifetime guarantee. Simple as that. Shop worldtraveler.com. Pick up in one of 5 locations, including the new Hinsdale store. Taylor Luggage, outfitting world travelers since 1920. You'll never pay more. Details at worldtraveler.com. Are you interested in Dexcom G5? Dexcom G5 system aids in detection of episodes of hyperglycemia and hypoglycemia, switching from acute and long-term therapy adjustments. However, if you were taking any of the 500 commonly used medications you take this day, such as Tylenol, Sudafed, or Robitussin, Dexcom G5 sensor glucose reads may be falsely high, causing the potential risk of low glucose events or through the high glucose event with insulin, as stated in Dexcom's label. Do not make any treatment decisions based on your Dexcom G5 when acetaminophen is active in your body. House that told spokesman Sarah Sanders that's not really fair.
Journalists make honest mistakes, and that doesn't make them fake news.
It got tense from there.
You can't say I'm not done. You cannot say, that it's an honest mistake when you're purposely putting out information that you know to be false.
The Washington Post fact-checking blog says in his first nearly 300 days in office, the president has made more than 1,600 false or misleading claims. Sagar Magan at the White House.
The New Yorker magazine says it has cut ties with its well-known political reporter Ryan Lizza because of accusations of sexual misconduct. Lizza says in an emailed statement, the magazine's decision was a terrible mistake, and he is dismayed that it was characterizing a respectful relationship with a woman he dated as somehow inappropriate. Government watchdog is urging the Federal Education Department to resume the process of forgiving student loans. Tens of thousands of Americans were cheated by for-profit colleges. The recommendation comes from the Office of Inspector General, an independent body within the Education Department. There's no immediate comment, though, from the people who run the Education Department. And President Trump today got a lunchtime briefing on the government's response to the wildfires in California. White House spokeswoman says Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue also briefed the president and vice president on a wildfire prevention roundtable who took part in today. Mr. Trump has declared a state of emergency in California and ordered federal agencies to help with the firefighting efforts. WBBM News Talk 844. I have purchased our timeshare in 1979. We went to our timeshare twice a year for years. Oh, I missed those days. In 2012, I lost Pam. I had to get out of our timeshare. Just the thought of going back there was too painful for me and our children. Finally, I found timeshare next September. They got us out. Time changes everything. If your timeshare no longer fits your life, go to timeshareexiting.com.
Illinois American Water extends a heartfelt thank you to our customers for allowing us to provide high-quality, reliable drinking water and service for over 128 years. Customer service is a top priority. Illinois American Water is dedicated to helping the communities we serve. Our skilled team of professionals work around the clock to deliver safe and affordable water and wastewater treatment services throughout Illinois. On behalf of our entire Illinois American Water team, we wish you and yours a very blessed and joyous upcoming holiday season.
WBBM News Time, 845. Searching for a great deal on Chevy's, search Web Chevy Plainfield. Now, WBBM Sports, here's Rick Gregg.
Well, a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter has been the biggest problem for the Bulls this year, or at least one of them. They've blown it many times.
We've got
another one tonight. Bulls and Celtics on the west side. Let's bring in our George Hoffman with more, George.
And it is a 15-point lead right now for the Bulls, who at one point were trailing in the second quarter and went on a 24-2 run. And they're leading a Celtics team playing without Kyrie Irving, and it shows. They played last night. He's not playing tonight, and they just don't look all that good. But that doesn't take anything away from the Bulls, who got some really good scoring tonight from Bobby Portis with 19, Nico Meritic with 16, and they're a combined 15 for 23 from the field. And this David Nwaba does really show a lot of energy on the bench. He's got a ball. He's going to go right to the basket. He has 13. So right now, with 10:09 left to go, you're right. It's always close to one quarter for the Bulls. They lead 82-68. Live from the UC, George Hoffman, News Radio 105.9 FM. A
couple other scores in the NBA this evening, including Miami leading Memphis 63-58, and New Orleans leading Houston 103-93 in the third. College ball, DePaul out to a 36-14 lead on winless Alabama A&M, and Northwestern beat Chicago State by 65, the largest margin of victory in school history, 96-31. Blackhawks hosting Florida tomorrow. Monday night football, the Dolphins now have a touchdown pass from Jay Cutler to Jarvis Landry, and lead 13-7 on New England's Patriots. A culture win, that's the phrase Mitchell Trubisky used after the Bears' big win over the Bengals, and John Fox likes to hear it.
You know, our young players have been a big part of that, you know, the kind of guys, not just the talent of the football player, but the kind of person. You know, I think it's important to them. I think it's important to this team. And, hopefully we saw a glimpse of it Sunday and can see it moving forward.
Mike's on the Bears Coaches Show here on WBBM earlier tonight. Bears get the Lions on Saturday, and we'll have a pregame 12:30. Kickoff 3:30. I'm off. Thank you.
Urban Outfitters may close within 1 hour of when you arrive. Urban Outfitters may be closed by the time you arrive. Head southwest.
Excuse me, do you know where Urban Outfitters?
Urban Outfitters is all the way around.
All the way around?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Head northwest. Turn right.
Yep. Yes.
Okay, what was the first name that was on there?
Shanmugam. This is the first time I'm coming here, so I didn't know where to park and I was just running, you know.
Gotcha.
Slow at nine.
Do you look like parked right out in front right now? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, this
I could come
here,
to the
Yeah. I wish you would have asked. I could have told you.
I mean, cutting close. I didn't want to wait and make a call.
Gotcha.
You need a card? I couldn't tell you.
No.
Charge to the paper.
I'm not sure. It doesn't say on here, so.
Yeah, it is. It's charged to paper.
Only thing that I need is I just need a signature down at the bottom there. Have a good one.
WCFSFM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
This holiday, award the winners in your family with the best pie in America from Baker's Square. They deserve the best pie for defending their titles every year. Like Uncle Jack's best. You learn the same stories over and over.
Did I ever tell you?
And Great Aunt Sue, best at oversharing.
Doctor said it would go away in about 2 weeks.
Your award-winning family deserves Baker's Square pies, like velvety smooth holiday French silk, or candy cane pie with peppermint silk and a cookie crumb crust. Order your holiday pies today at bakersquare.com.
A powerful princess meets a fearless prince. Three riddles could mean life or death. Experience Puccini's passionate Turandot in a grand-scale production never before seen in Chicago, featuring the blockbuster hit Nessun Dorma. Don't miss the drama and pageantry of Turandot, December 5th to January 27th, in just 10 performances. Visit lyricopera.org today. Turandot, experience something extraordinary.
Here are the winning Illinois lottery numbers. Pick three midday game winners, 4-0-2 the Fireball. Four, Big Four midday winners, 6-2-5-0 Fireball. Three, the Lucky Day Lotto midday game winners, 23, 26, 27, 32, and 42. WBBM News Time, 8:50 a.m. Traffic and weather together on the 8th, sponsored by the Healthcare Solutions team. Here's Abby Ryan.
Well, the Eden looks great in both directions at 19 minutes. Eden's first fine. Kennedy inbound, outbound. Inbound slight delays, North Avenue to Division, not bad though. 23 minutes, O'Hare into downtown, 13 coming in from Montrose, outbound 20, back to the airport, 10 local date express. The O'Hare extension looks good, out on the Eisenhower, 29 to Route 390, inbound slight delays getting onto that outbound Ryan Ramp, 29, 390 in downtown. 16 coming in from Mannheim, the outbound side of the Stevenson, 30 to 355, 30 back in, 22 in from the Tri-State and Lakeshore Drive. Ryan out to 95th, 15, and down 15. Bishop Ford, 957. Lakeshore Drive 2, all at 15 minutes. Tollway looked great so far. I-80 is fine in Joliet. 8094, I-65, and the Indiana Toll Road are clear. In Elgin, Summit and Burner Drive, watch out for a crash in Woodridge, 75th, and Woodward Avenue, crash there. The traffic and weather together on the 8th every 10 minutes. On News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Well, there's going to be some snow yet overnight, especially for northwest Indiana. Lake effect snow there accumulating 1 to 3 inches. It's going to be cold overnight, low down to 18.
Traffic and weather together on the 8th. Sports at 15 and 45. Sydney's at 25 and 55. From the MB Financial Bank Studios. MB means business. This is Chicago's all news station. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Coming up in the next half hour on News Radio WBBM, it's another night in the political spotlight for Alabama. Ahead of tomorrow's senatorial election, more just ahead from CBS News. An elderly woman is dead, killed by a dog in Chicago's southwest suburbs. And a Chicago area company is giving a new flavor to an old favorite, WBBM Sports. This is Rick Gray. Just a few minutes left at the United Center, and the Bulls are running away from Boston 102-77. Miami leads New England 13-10 on Monday Night Football. WBBM Business, now industrials up 57 points, close, NASDAQ up 35. The S&P 500 finished up about 8.5. CBS News is next. It's 9 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. They're dueling rallies in Alabama's Senate race tonight. Doug Jones hopes to become the first Democrat elected in the deep red state in more than a generation.
This race is really not about Roy Moore. It is not about Doug Jones. It is about every one of you and your children. It is about what we are as a people of the state of Alabama.
Republican Roy Moore hopes to overcome the allegations of sexual misconduct with teenage girls when he was a 32-year-old prosecutor.
We're Alabama. We're a republic. And we're not going to stand by and let other people from out of state and money from California control this election.
President Trump has strongly endorsed Moore in hopes of a continued GOP control of the Senate and keeping his legislative agenda on track. New York City police are studying video from 6,000 security cameras, trying to determine what 27-year-old Akayat Ula was doing before detonating a pipe bomb in the city's subway system. CBS's Jeff Pegues has more.
Ula came to the United States from Bangladesh in 2011. He arrived in the country with his parents and siblings on a family immigrant visa, eventually becoming a legal permanent resident.
And I know
investigators are trying to determine who else might have known about Ula's plan to detonate a bomb this morning. They'll be looking for his electronic devices to see what he may have been doing online and scanning terrorism databases to see if he was in contact with terror groups.
Transgender recruits will be able to sign up for the military in the new year.
The Pentagon making the announcement.
At this point, it looks like the military will go ahead with their plans to allow transgenders to enlist in the military.
CBS News military consultant Mike Wine. New policy raises a lot of new questions. Here's CBS News military consultant Jeff McCaws.
There may be upwards of 7,000 transgender people who are serving in the military, many of whom are not, hopefully perhaps, but serving in the military. What is their status?
President Trump's own ban on transgenders suffering another legal setback. Two federal courts already ruling against it. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
An American hadn't been on the moon since 1972 when President Trump told NASA today it's time to go back and set up a base for future travel to Mars.
This is a giant step toward that inspiring future and toward reclaiming America's proud destiny in space.
The digital currency Bitcoin ended its first day of trading with a 20% gain. CBS's Diane King Hall at the New York Stock Exchange.
The cryptocurrency began futures trading yesterday. Traffic has been so intense it briefly crashed the Chicago Board Options Exchange's website, and circuit breakers were already triggered.
The Dow was up 56 points today. This is CBS News.
Have pain you can't ignore? Then try first-in-class relief from SalonPass. SalonPass pain relief patches have everything you need in one clinically proven solution. They're the strongest label pain reliever available without a prescription. Safely relieving pain for up to 12 hours. And SalonPass is the first and only FDA-approved OTC topical pain reliever. For first-in-class relief, get SalonPass pain relief patches. In the green box, the blue way. This is Charles Hudson. Give your employees the power to do their best work and maximize your budget with Dell Small Business. Update new Dell Business PCs with Intel Core processors. Dell Small Business advisors make sure you get the best deals and business solutions. Save up to $300 on select business PCs and servers from now until December 17th and get free shipping. Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-FIDEL.
Are Americans feeling football overload?
In for the touchdown!
Experts tell us there are a number of reasons fewer people are consuming the NFL product.
Ticket sales are down, merchandise sales are down.
And agent Deborah Todd says that's on top of declining viewership. In addition to the national anthem controversy, she blames cord cutters watching less traditional TV and too many games now on four different days of the week.
Well, unless you have $700,000 to air commercials in an NFL game, you want to make sure the audience
is going to be there. It's on for CBS News, New Orleans. The Kent Bulligan Tennessee Middle School student Keaton Jones has been proven wrong. They called him ugly and saying he has no friends. Well, after his mother made a video of Keaton's story, his friends came out in droves. Supporting him on Twitter, Tennessee Titans Delaney Walker, Snoop Dogg, and race car driver Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Captain America's Chris Evans invited him to the premiere of the next Avengers film. Cam Coulter, CBS News.
This is Chicago's all-news station. News Radio's 780 and 105.9 FM and CBSChicago.com.
WBBM News Time, 9:05. Good evening. It is Monday, December the 11th. I'm David Rowe in Chicago tonight. Cloudy and 32 degrees. Winds out of the northwest at 21, gusting to 26. That yields a wind chill of 20. Accurate says snow showers early tonight, leaving a thick covering on roads, an inch or two on the grass. Otherwise, cloudy, windy, and colder overnight. Lake effect snow in northwest Indiana, accumulating 1 to 3 inches, especially in Porter County, low 18. Oh, partly sunny, windy, and very cold. The high just 24, wind chill values in the single digits and teens tomorrow. Our top local story on News Radio WBBM. All city police say they were called to a home in the 1600 block of South Kamensky on a report of someone being attacked by a dog. Arriving officers say